I was supposed to graduate from high school, yes, in June of 67. I didn't graduate, but I went all the way to the end, and then they said, you don't have enough credits to get a diploma. And I said, that's fine, I'm not going to Columbia University. I'm going to Columbia Records. It ended up okay. I can't complain. That was an amazing time. It was, 67 is referred to as the summer of love. All these kids migrated across the country wearing love beads and growing their hair as long as they could to go to the, you know, San Francisco and the West Coast, and were tuning in and dropping out, and all kinds of funny stuff was going on in 1967. It was an amazing time. It was coming of age for the baby boomer generation. And when the Sgt. Pepper album came out, I first heard it. This is kind of strange. A girlfriend of mine invited me over to her and her friend's house to listen to the new Beatles album. So I said, okay, went over there. And they were smoking hash. Now, I had never smoked anything except cigarettes. So I went there, and they said, well, you got to listen to this album. We've got headphones for you. They had, remember the big Koss headphones? Big, gigantic things. They covered the whole side of your head. And everybody was listening to vinyl at that time, of course. So they had a Garrard turntable with a Shure V15 cartridge, you know, exactly the technology you'd want to use. But they gave me some hash. Now, I had never smoked anything except cigarettes, like I said. So most people, you know, you start with a joint or something, you just try it out. First time I tried any of that stuff was hash. So they put the album on, and they left me alone in the room. And I went to another planet completely. All I remember going is, oh, wow. And so that was my first listen to the Sgt. Pepper album. I said, that's not fair. I really don't know what I heard. All I know is I went to another planet. So I actually went out and bought the album the next day and played it. And it was a revolutionary experience without the hash. I got the symphonic approach immediately. Now, number one, the first thing you hear at the beginning of the record is an audience coming in and the musicians shuffling on stage, tuning up their instruments. I think that was their intention. To me, it was obvious. Now, that might have been a thing that George Martin used. It was an effect that he wanted to add. I always credit him as the fifth Beatle. I think George Martin was absolutely, you know, critical to what you heard from the Beatles. And he was a guy who understood symphonic music. He understood classical music. He understood music. He knew how to read. He knew how to arrange. He knew how to technically produce. So and the album is 40 minutes long, which is pretty much what most symphonies are. And it also, it had an arc. It had a concept from beginning to end. The lyrics weren't necessarily what was tying the album together, except for the sonic effect that the lyrics had. But you knew you were listening to a cohesive work from beginning to end, with all kinds of sounds, effects, instruments, arrangements, rhythms, tempos, harmonies that you had never heard before. Yeah, they broke a lot of rules when they made that record. They went off the map, and they mixed textures and instruments that had never been used together before in a rock milieu. The whole album influenced me. I made an album in 1982 called The Nylon Curtain, which was directly influenced by Sgt. Pepper. As a matter of fact, I didn't realize until after I listened back to the entire album that I was channeling John Lennon's voice when I was singing. John Lennon had been murdered a year and a half prior to that, and I was still in shock over his death. I was very much traumatized by John being gone because it meant there could never be the Beatles again. And I think part of me wanted to recreate what the Beatles did sonically. I wanted to hear it again. I refused to accept that they couldn't be a unit again. And I I don't know if it was conscious, but I know unconsciously I tried to recreate what the feeling I got was when I listened to the Sgt. Pepper album. And it's, there's specific songs on my album that, you know, kind of followed the blueprint. A song like "Good Night Saigon," if you listen to it, it's very, very similar in form to "A Day in the Life." Surprises, which kind of follows in the footsteps of "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." I don't have the album right in front of me. I don't have the Sgt. Pepper album right in front of me either. But just to, you know, best of my recollection right now, it changed everything for me. It changed my whole understanding of what music could be. Now, there's been a lot of revisionism about the Sgt. Pepper album over the last few years. Oh, a lot of the lyrics are just poppy, you know, "Lovely Rita, Meter Maid," and "She's Leaving Home" is kind of a sentimental old English, you know, ballad. But you know, at the time when we were listening to it, it was very exotic. Like, what's a meter maid? We didn't even know what a meter maid was. Some of these lyrics that these were, which were, you know, working class English references. He was from the House of Lords, 4,000 holes in Blackburn, Lancashire. To us, that sounded like, wow, what the hell does that mean? You know, it wasn't just what the words were. It was their sonic effect. When I hear it, I hear, it's similar to the effect that I have when I listen to a Beethoven symphony. I marvel at the construction of it. I marvel at the form of it, at the composition of it, and even just the concept of it.